All right. Hi, guys, and welcome back to another episode of Candid, where we have real talks with real people. I'm your host, Shanae, and today I am here with Selena. Yeah, so we've been absent for a while, but you know, life stuff, it'd be like that sometimes. But with that being said, a lot has happened while we've gone. Specifically, something that has been a topic on the show for a while. We've always been pushing for an increase in wages, and we know that when this new government came in, they promised that that was something that they were going to look at. And early in the year, it was said that they were thinking about pushing to 250, and now it's been confirmed that there will be a wage increase, a minimum wage increase from 210 to 260. Now, a lot of people had mixed feelings on this. Of course, a lot of people were happy because it's actually going up, just because, you know, the cost of living is really high here. But a lot were saying it's not enough. So my thoughts on it is, I'm glad that it went up. It's not going to be enough, because last time I think we had a wage increase was 2015. And then before that, I think was in the early 2000s. So if we allow these large gaps to continue, obviously the cost of living is going to increase. So if the cost of living increases 2% every year, and the wages stay the same, if this happens, if we allow this to happen for 10 years straight, then obviously there's going to be a big gap and it's going to be hard to catch up. So I like the fact that we're increasing the wage, but I think a more proactive thing to do would be to increase it incrementally every year as we in align with the cost of living. I don't know if that makes sense. Does that make sense, Lena?
It does, and you voiced your opinion very well. And I just say I've supported 100%, because I, in another group that I'm in, one of the males made a comment, and I was like, wow. He said, he made a comment, was it him or was it a video? I can't remember. I think he sent a video stating, as someone was speaking on the fact, and they were saying, if I'm a millionaire, me giving you $100 means nothing to me. However, you still in the poor rank, and I already rich, and I'm still comfortable. So a lot of persons I heard, like you said, mixed feelings about it, because some persons say that it's a slap in the face, because it's 2022. The cost of living is through the roof. They just increased prices on, I don't know if you took a trip to the grocery store lately. Gas prices decreased price a lot, hallelujah, because, you know, Dali has been saying that the cost of living is, the minimum wage per hour is more than, you know, I'm less than gas. But now, thank God, gas decreased. However, prices within different stores are skyrocketing. So yes, the minimum wage, it's still not enough. Like you voice, the cost of the living is continuously increasing. Therefore, the minimum wage should be increasing along with that. Because I honestly don't understand how persons with jobs where they're being paid minimum wage are surviving. I honestly do not understand it.
The thing is, they're not. It's either they find someone to live with and they split costs, because obviously that's the easiest way to survive this day and age. Whether it's with your boyfriend, or it's with a best friend, or a roommate, or some living arrangement that's more inexpensive. But if you look at the prices of rent, even if you're paying $600 in rent, which is relatively cheap, $600 with a 2 or 8 something, and you have to take NIBO that too, so close 7 something, you left with basically nothing. If you have a car, you gotta put gas in your car, and you gotta buy food. You would be living to pay bills, literally. And nobody wants to live a life where they're paying bills. And like the whole notion that, oh, minimum wage is because those jobs are non-skill. And I feel like that's a foolish argument, because no job requires no skill. Whether you consider the skill a high value skill or a low value skill, at the end of the day, they still are utilizing skills. Because if you work at a grocery store and you cash in, they may be paying you 210, but cash in takes a skill. Cash in is a lot. You have to know how to count. Yeah, deal with unruly customers. You have to have patience, customer service. Like those are skills. And I feel like a lot of times we take that argument, oh, well, what you expect? You're really doing nothing. But at the end of the day, if these people decided, you know what, I don't want to work this job no more, there's gonna be nobody in the world to do these jobs. Like, come on, like everybody is needed, so everybody should be paid a fair wage. It is, I mean, that's just the fact of the truth. Me personally, if I was, if my business was to ever get to the point where I need employees, I'm gonna fully disregard the whole minimum wage thing. Wait, I'm gonna pay you a living wage whatever time I'm at at the time. If I can't afford to pay an employee to live, then I feel like I don't deserve to have an employee, and I need to do it by myself until I can or close down, to be honest. Because how is it you comfortable taking majority of the profit, but the people who are working for you working for pennies? Me personally, that never made sense to me, but I guess that's because I care about other people. A lot of people don't look at it like that.
So, black crab syndrome is a very serious thing, especially in our country. If your or your, let's say, a friend of yours starts selling chargers, or start selling, like, some items within their stores, or even from their house, 9 times out of 10, I mean, I shouldn't say that. Some persons would prefer to go to another person who's selling it when they know that their friend is selling it instead of patronizing their friend. They can't explain why, and that is their right. But black crab syndrome is very serious. We rather we it's like a fear of someone else succeeding above you. You want that person on the same par as you or below you, and that's why our society will never develop the way it needs to develop if we don't get this mentality out of our mind. It's always a one narrow, I gotta do this, I'll get this. But they don't realize that as a whole country, we will rise higher if we all try to work with each other. I'd always look at the Asians, and not even just some, the Asians, we have other nationalities that live within this country. They patronize each other. They patronize each other to make sure community that's buying from me, I'm still making a profit. I send in that back, or I'm reinvested in them because I'm buying something from them, and we will always forever be straight. I'll never forget my time in Andres. We had Andres on the island of Andres, a specific nationality, Haitians, where they farm. Now, a lot of times when you hear about farming in the Bahamas, it's not going to work because this and that or whatever the case may be. Our soil isn't good. But we had Mennonites down there. You actually see the strawberry. What did they call them? Anyway, I'll say just the field of strawberries that they have. And I mean, these people in the flock. Sweetest strawberries I ever tasted in my life. When boat day, you would see the trucks from the Haitian farms, these baked cassavas, all eggplants, all type of fruit, vegetables you could think of. But guess what? You better believe majority of persons on that island would not buy from them. You know what they do? They send it up to Nassau, where the Haitians under the bridge and stuff like that selling. They still win it because at the end of the day, that community is working with them and getting them their money. But Bahamians, oh, I ain't gonna buy for them because they come into my island and da 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 da. That time they wouldn't even lift up a finger to go farm or do anything. But it's just because it's black crab syndrome. You don't want anybody else to succeed, but you ain't gonna do nothing about it. And I just detest that mentality. But, to get back to the point that we were talking about, it's great that it finally increased. It's awesome. $50, way, yay, way to go. But we still at minimum wage. We still in survival mode. That cannot suffice for anybody to comfortably live within this country. No, not even comfortably, just to live in this country. It's a no.
Yeah, and like for me, what I don't understand is even if you don't make minimum wage, I feel like you should still be an advocate for others. Because at the end of the day, you never know if it may be your niece or your uncle or a cousin who may be struggling. And people like to say, oh, well, if they don't want to work minimum wage, then they should go do this, or they should maybe start a business, or they should do blah, 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 blah. But the fact of the matter is, everybody can be an entrepreneur. Everybody can be a businessman. Everybody can go to college and get a degree, whether that is if they want to or that they cannot afford it or whatever unforeseen circumstance. And the fact of the matter is, you need people to work in what we consider low skill jobs or zero skill jobs, which I don't necessarily like the term, but that's what we normally refer to it as. Like I said, the world would literally come to a standstill without these people. Excuse me. And I feel as though like at least they should be paid. Like, what's the big whoop-de-doo? And most of these places are, I won't say most, but I talking specifically to bigger corporations. Like, you're making billions, millions, trillions of dollars. Like, how hard is it for you to pay a little bit more? Like, that's just how I feel. Because yeah, that's just crazy. And I think there was a study done in, see, 2019 maybe, or 2020, I don't know if you saw it, but it was put out by the University of the Bahamas and a couple of researchers and lecturers, and they put out how much they think, how much, based on data and research, how much it would cost to live in the Bahamas, specifically New Providence, and then secondly in Freeport. And I believe for a single person, it was about $2,000 per month. $2,000 per month to live, yet our minimum wage is $800. Now, I'm not saying jump straight there, but okay, you raise minimum wage, whoop-de-doo. What is your plan in the coming years to make sure this gap never happens again? 2015 was about 7 years away, because this is becoming effective in 2023. That's what, 7 to 8 years, and we haven't had one single raise. Before that, the gap was longer, almost 15 years. Like, this should be a common practice. I believe I saw a report saying that on average, in normal circumstances, I think it says that the cost of living in a country moves anywhere between 1 to 3%. So if we have this data and this information, or at least we know that it could be found, because I think this was a study in the United States. So if we know that this data could be found, why don't we put resources into figuring, okay, how much does our cost of living raise? Or just use that and say, okay, every year we'll increase minimum wage by 3%. And then you'll never get these long gaps between the cost of living and the and minimum wage, because minimum wage should equal a living wage. And I that's just my two cents. This is my two cents. So,
Well, I totally agree.
oh, and I also saw another. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. It was a story basically saying that minimum wage could cause more job loss. But me personally, this is just my opinion. Of course, I'm not an expert on the matter or whatever, but I could see what they're saying and why they may say that may happen. But I feel like I said, this can be avoided if we would just be proactive instead of reactive. If we raise the minimum wage incrementally by 3 or 4% every year, of course, this is in normal years when the cost of living just steadily increases, then we shouldn't face this problem. I feel like we as Bahamians, we tend to be reactive to a problem instead of knowing that we have a problem and trying to prevent that before it happens. This has been an ongoing problem for decades. Well, yeah, basically decades. So why is it that instead of being proactive, okay, we fixed it the first time, now how do we ensure that this doesn't happen again? We didn't do that. We just went on and on and on, wait till the people complain and putting up a fight, and then decide, okay, we're gonna raise it now. We're gonna raise it now. Because like you said, that you reiterated that Dudley said, a gallon of gas is more than minimum wage. Like, that shouldn't be happening in 2022. And like I said, if we incrementally raise the minimum wage, then we should not run into this problem, hypothetically. But even if we do run into the problem, at least we tried, and we should look forward to another solution instead of just repeating the same cycle over and over and over again, expecting a different result. That's literally insanity. What is the next thing? But yeah, so have you been paying attention to the news? And have you seen all this crime that's been going on in the last like week and a half?
You mean the amount of murders back to back to back to back?
Yes, ma'am.
And to me, it's the same. We're in the ghetto, rat-a-tat-tat-tat.
But there have been, I saw a report out of the police saying that we're not in a crisis. But then he says, but the amount of crime is becoming concerning to them. Like, sir,
So
I'm not
we're
sure
not
of
coming concerned.
exactly. Like, isn't that like it? Didn't he just deny something then confirm it in the same sentence? Like, huh?
Much. So when he's saying we're in a pre-crisis, like we're in the like corner of
I
a crisis.
like I don't know. Like, it just was murder after murder after murder after murder, and like, and the only thing that I've seen that I can remember that's just been on the news is regarding that statement that was something that was like a headline or whatever. And then I've seen stuff regarding tourism and saying, I think it's the Honorable Justice Cooper who made statements regarding crime on tourists and saying that anybody who does that is basically silly, and why would you attack the people that bring us money, basically, is what he was saying. And in my head, I'm like, okay, I get that and all, right? But like, I'm more worried about my safety as a Bahamian. I'm more worried about my safety than tourism. Like, I understand tourism our number one industry, but we already learned from the pandemic. Like, hey, we need to look at other things. Like, we need to at least learn to feed ourselves. So right now, I really worry too much about tourism. I worry about not getting shook when I leave my yard. Okay? Or if I go someplace and do is just decide, you know what? I beefing with somebody here, so I gotta shoot a police. Because that's what's
That's
been
my
happening.
thing, because I don't know if anyone else realized the. I was just saying that the magnitude of that bus driver. I don't know if persons really understand the magnitude of the situation of how that bus driver was killed. Because at the end of the day, that person was on the bus with other passengers. He only targeted the bus driver and the young boy next to him, but that could have been completely worse, because at the end of the day, he might have become paranoid and said that, oh, many witnesses are on the bus. I heard that school children were around. Like, it could have went south real quick.
So many
Well,
ways.
even more south. But I'm just then the. Mother and the brother being gunned down because the brother decided to flash his gun. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like it's been too.
Like, it's just so much going on in this country. And then apparently like 15 to 20 persons who were let out on bail were killed with for the year. And I'm
Yeah.
just like, and it's not a crisis. We're not in a crisis.
Girl, I can't even remember what the with the I know 2015 was basically considered our murder year, where we had I don't know if you remember that, but
I think they call it the blood, yeah.
yep. And it was just a lot of killings, and it was just a lot of crime in general. And I think I don't know if we're past it yet, but I know we're hauling tail behind it, because we have not experienced this much for a while, for a while. And I just don't understand what's going on. I don't get it. I don't understand.
But
That's just me though. I guess when you're in that lifestyle, it's easier to take a life at home.
listen, all I can say is all we could do is pray. And it's I heard on the news, and I think that person said it very well. This isn't just a matter for the police, because the police cannot it they cannot control it. It's community based as well. They said that it's contingent on many institutions, community, and the force working hand in hand in order to get this under control. But I would be remiss if not to voice this opinion. I do believe that I wouldn't say that this is the sole cause, because that would be a sweeping generalization and also oversimplification of the matter. However, I do believe that a factor in all of this is that persons are literally in survival mode. They're not, I wouldn't even say survival mode. It's just like they're barely surviving and they're trying to make ends meet. And this goes back to the minimum wage crisis and the working crisis and just everything on the whole when it comes to the economics of the majority of the Bahamas, or let me not say Bahamians, the natives of this country, the inhabitants of this country. But that's just my 5 cents on it.
But to piggyback off of what you were saying, there was a crime consultant that was hired, and he said that, yeah, the crime consultant said that a lack of parental guidance, the desire to make money, and the vulnerability to external influences are all contributing facts to young men getting involved in gang culture. This is according to anti-crime consultant Carlos Reed. The rule in the hood is I want to get paid and I want to get mine. Oh, this is what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about inflation. So, all right. So, the Bahamas Retail Grocers Association President Philip Benneby said that the government's decision to add 38 extra food items to the price control regime would cut deep into the profit margins of local retailers, adding that some may not last a 6 month trial period. Oh yeah, this is what the Prime Minister said. We're eliminating the wholesale retail markup of everyday items like diapers and on food like chicken, eggs, bread, bananas, apples, oranges, broccolis, orange, onions, and potatoes. So they're saying that because of this may cause companies to go nosedive. Now, how I feel about this, diapers are already duty free. So when you buy the diapers, the only thing you're paying is shipping. So shipping can't be that expensive when you divide how much you're bringing in by one diaper. So I don't see how they're gonna lose much money on that. And I don't think they have announced exactly how they're going to price control these items. So I think that's a bit of a jump to just automatically assume that. And I think the former government talked about doing something like this on chicken, eggs, bread, banana. I could be wrong. All of this because they wanted to encourage people to go to the farmers markets and to grow, to buy local, basically. So I think this was always something that was in the works. I may be sure or I may be remembering incorrectly. But how I see it, I don't think it necessarily makes sense to import these items when we could grow them in our country. And I've seen it done because I've been to farmers markets. I've been to the farms on Cowpen Road and other farms throughout the island. I've been to farms on the on Andros and Elutra. It's possible to grow these things here.
It
We just like to act like it's not. And they're talking about bread. First of all, I don't even know why people still just buy bread in the food store anyway, to be honest. Because you could go to Purity Bakery and they have one of the section where they just have like the form bread or whatever, or bread that they didn't slice properly. And it's basically like, at least the last time I've been there, it was like $1.50. So why go to the store, spend $5 on bread, and I could drive 30 and get basically 3, 4 rolls of bread for a little bit more than $5, and I can throw them in my freezer. So I feel like it's kind of inevitable when you think about it, but maybe that's just how I load it. And he said, this is the first time, Benneby said in his announcement, this is the first time I'm hearing about it. I'll say this, if they add 38 items to the price control list, we might as well shut down. We might as well close the door. The smaller convenience store, something like that, will be put out of business without a doubt. I don't know what the formula is going to be to determine the impact, but some businesses may not last 6 months. So basically, he's agreeing. He's confirmed what I thought was that the fact that they haven't said how they're going to do this as yet. But I think it's a bit hasty to jump the gun. Hopefully it's fair and hopefully it allows smaller Bahamian-owned businesses to stay open. But yeah, that's my thought on it.
I'm just gonna say, I'm just gonna agree with what you said, the last part. I hope that it's fair, whereas it's not putting businesses out of business, but at the same time, it is controlling the way that they were pricing. They're making it fair for everyone because there are persons who, especially on those things that are necessities, you shouldn't be profiting from what people are like I wouldn't want to say dying, but like, you know, you shouldn't be profiting from often this things that are a necessity to persons, because when I say profiting, I mean to a great extent. Because every business is oh, what's the word I'm trying to look for? Please make sure you edit this because I know I sound crazy. But you need profit to profits. But what I'm trying to say is that at the end of the day, it shouldn't be to the detriment of society on a whole. So I really do hope that the way in which they do it is research-based and fair, because at the end of the day, a business doesn't run off generosity. But at the same time, I do hope that it is also to the benefit of society on a whole.
We had a very insightful conversation today, guys. We discussed minimum wage and rate and the raising of that, also the possible repercussions and how we could mitigate having to go years and years and years and then having to raise it again. You know, same cycle that's been continuing for decades. How we could possibly just end that cycle completely. Talked about crime in the country, and when we talked about the raise of grocery prices as the prime minister. As a prime minister decided to add 38 items to the price control list to try and make life easier for Bahamians who are struggling and the possible repercussions of that. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Candid, where we have real talks with real people. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Candid242 to see what we're up to. Keep it real, Bahamas.